Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. I am the brilliant podcast host here as usual, and today it's going to be one of those days where I do almost no show prep, but somehow still manage to deliver you excellent commentary. First and foremost, for all of the Argentinian lovers out there, everybody was claiming, oh my God, I can never pronounce this guy's name. The new leader of Argentina, he is going to be great for everybody. He is the Donald Trump of South America. He's going to just stick it to the World Economic Forum type, stick it to everybody. He's going to speak up for the little guy. Well, guess what? I didn't believe it, and neither should you, especially since there was a Forbes article that came out that the link no longer works for, titled "A Mandatory Registry for Bitcoin Platforms to Start in Argentina." And it would force everybody to basically register if you're using Bitcoin or any other crypto platform. Now, why am I bringing this up? One, I can't read the articles, so that's going to be a problem. Two, what does this say? It validates everything that I and many others have been saying for a very long time about central banking digital currencies and digital currencies overall. And that is, once you force people to use digital currencies and not hard currencies like paper, then what you're going to have is a complete control system put into place. Why? Because they can monitor all of it. They can regulate when you create a transaction. They don't want you spending money after 5 p.m. because you're a ne'er-do-well, according to the state's eyes. Then guess what? You won't be able to purchase anything after 5 p.m. If they don't want you to purchase anything beyond 5 miles from your registered address, then you won't be able to. And this would all be linked to a social credit score. And on top of that, more than likely, they will have some kind of universal basic income tied to all of this. What do I mean by that? Universal basic income. The government, in its benevolent ways, has decided to say, you know what, average citizen, you deserve a certain amount of money every month just for existing, and we're going to give it to you. Oh, but if you don't take that experimental shot, if you say nasty things, if you are part of the wrong political party, then we're going to not give you your universal basic income. And lo and behold, since AI has replaced your job and your livelihood, well, you're going to be put into a very, very difficult corner, aren't you? So I hope you understand where we're coming from on all of this. That's the danger of what's going on. That's what's down the road for the people of Argentina if they don't wake up, especially since we saw a headline last week where the leader of Argentina has decided to lay off around 70,000 government workers. Well, with all of those unemployed people, how are they going to gain any kind of sustenance? How are they going to live their lives? Well, it would have to be doing something along the lines of what I just mentioned before. Another different, by the way, digressing massively like a drunken mental patient, this comes from 972mag.com. This also ties into complete tracking, universal basic, not really universal basic income, but central banking digital currencies and also artificial intelligence. And I want everybody to bear in mind what we've seen so far with ChatGPT, specifically how woke it is. And we also should bear in mind Google's Gemini artificial intelligence, where we asked it, hey, can you create a photo of the founding fathers? And boy, did it ever create that photo, including African Americans, American Indians, Asians. You know, no race was excluded except the white male in Google Gemini's caricatures of what the founding fathers of America would look like. So keep that in mind as I bring up this article, 972mag.com. Lavender, the AI machine directing Israel's bombing spree in Gaza. Well, how does that work? According to 6 Israeli intel officials who have served in the army during the current Gaza Strip war and had first-hand involvement with the use of AI to generate targets of assassination, Lavender has played a central role in the unprecedented bombing of Palestinians, especially during the early stages. In fact, according to the source, its influence on the military operations was such that they essentially treated the outputs of the AI machine as if it were a human decision. So keep all of what I said in mind. What the Israeli army has now done is that they have deferred their military operations and judgment to an artificial intelligence, which means they could do whatever they want, and then they say, well, it wasn't us, it was a mistake, it was the artificial intelligence, we just need to improve the output that the AI is giving us. Sorry, things in war happen, especially if civilians are killed. This is a dark road that these people are going down, and they want to make it a global system. Why is this so important to highlight? If, and I'll read it again, operations were treated essentially as though the AI machine were making human decisions, okay? Let's go beyond this. Let's put that same kind of mindset into, oh, I don't know. How about lawsuits? How about medical procedures? How about the justice system itself with the judges? Do you see how crazy things are going to get if you have artificial intelligence acting as the judge? Oh, well, it's as if it was a human decision. Determining whether or not you're an icky person with central banking digital currency, or whether or not you've got a poor social credit score for being on the wrong side of the tracks politically. Ooh, how about making war like they do over here? Oh, I'm sorry. We just trusted the artificial intelligence and it recommended dropping nuclear weapons all across Eastern Europe. I mean, it's not our fault. It's a glitch in the system. Oh, one more thing. What about, according to the AI, we're having a problem with the climate. Oh, there's too much carbon in the atmosphere. We need to have climate lockdowns. And all the government officials can say, well, what? It's not us. The artificial intelligence, they know better than us. It's able to amalgamate all sorts of data way beyond our mere human capacity, and we must treat it as gospel. So we have to lock everybody down. We have to put them in 15-minute cities. Everybody must drive an electric vehicle. Otherwise, they could go places. We need to cull all of the cattle, all of the chickens, because there's too much carbon being emitted from those dastardly livestock, and then it is just unhealthy for the mere humans. So we need to stop eating meat. And then all the politicians, all the agencies, it's just artificial intelligence. It was as if it were a human decision. That's the road that they're going down. And Israel is at the spear's tip of what this kind of technology is going to be doing throughout society. That's very, very, very important to keep in mind. You cannot keep allowing this kind of thing to happen, because the social fabric as a whole, it's not going to be able to recover if artificial intelligence is allowed to do what it is doing in Gaza right now, except permeated all throughout the social structure. It cannot happen. It should be outlawed, if we're being honest with each other here, especially when you consider all of the wokeness that we saw with Google's Gemini and also ChatGPT. I mean, here's the other problem. You've got a lot of dumb people out there, and these dumb people automatically assume that artificial intelligence is telling the truth, just like many stupid liberals out there automatically assume that a judge and a judge's family, they don't have allegiances to any political party. And if a judge says that this ruling against Donald Trump or some other person aligned with Donald Trump is just, then guess what? The judge knows best. He's unbiased. How did he get to the bench in the first place? Well, he got to the bench more than likely by a political appointment, like somebody from Barack Obama's administration or George Bush Jr.'s administration. Judges are as biased as artificial intelligence. Luckily, there was an article that came out. Backlash is real. DEI exodus gains steam across corporate America. Thank God, because we're so tired of this crap. And you're seeing more and more companies doing this. There was a little graph here that talks about DEI and diversity in earnings calls. Basically, it all climaxed around early 2021, so maybe quarter one or quarter two of 21. And that luckily has tapered off to its lowest point since early of 2020, and it's been steadily declining. DEI mentions have had their peak in 2021, said Axios. And Johnny Taylor, president of the Society for Human Resource Management, said that the backlash is real, and I mean in ways that I've actually never seen it before. CEOs are literally putting the brakes on this DEI work that was running strong since George Floyd's murder in early 2020. Well, let's hope, for instance, that we get back to hiring people and promoting people that actually have the credentials to make the job work. Isn't that something? Oh, you have experience and you know how to manage people in an effective way that doesn't involve fear. You're hired. As long as you're not some idiot that doesn't know how to contain their emotions, you're going to do fantastic at this company. Nowadays, it doesn't necessarily mean it's like that. We all know what DEI means. It all means racism. And racism in a way that allows promotions based upon gender, gender identity, and race. That's all it is. It's a way for the elites to say, oh, we've given you some kind of form of reparations by giving you preferential hiring treatment. And that was one of the Biden-Obama administration's leading initiatives. They needed this to happen because they knew damn well they were never going to get reparations for people, especially with some of these numbers that these lunatics are throwing around out there with how much each person should be getting. I mean, technically, I should be getting reparations from Italy because given my Sicilian background, I'm pretty sure everybody of all nations has walked across my family going way back at some point in time. So I want reparations from the Moors. I want reparations from the Teutonic Knights, more than likely the Knights of Malta. I want some cash from those guys. I mean, I deserve my just desserts, don't I? So that's enough. We need to stop all of this. We need to stop all this crap. And luckily, that's what's happening. And you know, it's an interesting point that someone brought up about artificial intelligence too. Artificial intelligence we're seeing being placed into the workplace and society in ways that don't necessarily help the average worker. Why? Because that artificial intelligence is going to replace your job. Artificial intelligence isn't going to make your life easier, right? Everybody has a day job, or luckily you have a day job. And let me tell you something, you probably don't like your day job. If you could spend your time doing something else and make money off of it, you'd probably be doing that instead of pushing papers around or sending emails these days and arguing with morons that you can't stand on a daily basis, right? Makes sense. So instead of AI making your life easier, it's replacing your job, which forces you back onto universal basic income because you can't work anymore, right? And if you don't have a good enough social credit score, meaning you're not contributing to society in the way that the government wants you to, mark my words, they're going to start limiting if you can have children. And if you do have a child, you may not have a certain social credit score and the state will come get the child from you. And the state will be the custodian of the child. You see how weird and bizarre all of this starts to spin into? That's why AI is going to be dangerous. What should AI really be doing? AI should be allowing you to pursue your own efforts. If you're a poet, you should be able to start writing poetry more often and being better at it, whilst AI takes care of all of your busy work and you don't have to worry about being clamped down into a 15-minute city, having your job replaced, and being forced to take central banking digital currencies as your income. That's what AI should be doing. AI should be being used as a way to lift up humanity, not subjugate humanity, not force humanity back into a corner where they are going to be enforcing more and more of these draconian measures to get you less and less freedom. That's why we need to start fighting back against AI and all of the rest. Oh, okay. So before I end it here, two more things. Maybe three more things. Okay, the first thing here. This is over on X. Yeah, no, you notice how I'm kind of stalling here. Kyle Becker talks about election integrity. All right. What we're starting to see here is that we have a number of Social Security numbers coming out. Why in all of these states, in all these battleground states, Arizona, Texas, you know, why is that happening? Well, it could, in fact, be because there are illegal migrants over there applying for ballots, applying for voter registration, applying for Social Security numbers. And as we all know, if you apply for a Social Security number, more than likely you are going to be able to get a ballot and register to vote. And we also found out a couple of weeks ago that there is a way, despite the fact that you may or may not be a citizen, to actually get the voter registration, be registered as a voter. Because if you do it through the federal government, like you would get a Social Security number from the same people over there, then they will give you the ballot, supposedly, and you'll be able to register. But it's up to the state and the local municipalities and the local boards of elections to validate whether or not you are eligible to vote. So do you see how that sleight of hand works? The federal government says, yeah, no problem, off you go. And then it's up to the states to say, no, you're not going to be allowed to vote. Do you see how rife with fraud this whole process can really be filled with? I mean, it is extremely sad that we have to deal with this. Okay, so here we go. I'm just going to read through this real quick. These viral reports are based on the Social Security Administration's database for Help America Vote verification transactions. These transactions don't automatically mean it is voter registrations. They are verification checks through state government agencies, including Department of Motor Vehicles. In Texas alone, there were 2.2 million transactions for SSA verification checks from November until March. 2.2 million? That's a lot. The Texas Secretary of State's office reports only 188,969 additional registered voters for the same time frame. However, Texas election laws are problematic in that one can request a mail-in ballot with only the last four digits of a Social Security number. And these numbers are often assigned for work permits or lawful permanent residence. However, illegal aliens can and do receive Social Security numbers with DHS authorization and pay billions in contributions every year. You now understand one of the ploys for allowing all of these illegal migrants into these countries, specifically these battleground states. There was also a little tidbit that came out that, if you remember, Biden's secret airline transfers going on throughout the United States with allowing illegal immigrants in here more readily and all of that. A lot of the states that these airlines were busing these illegal immigrants to included states like Texas and Florida. Why? Because they understand that Texas and Florida are bastions of basically conservatism when it comes to the Electoral College, the House of Reps, and the Senate. So what do? You flip all those things over by busing in all of these people, registering them to vote as Democrats, knowing that they will vote as Democrats, knowing that you can get away with it through the fraud and the illegal elections, and boom, there you go. All of a sudden, Texas and Florida is now purple, if not blue, not unlike Arizona. This is how they're going to steal it. Not anything new. We saw what happened in 2020. We saw it again in 22. We're going to see it again in 24. So the vote harder crowd needs to come to a realization that voting harder doesn't necessarily work, right? Because if these numbers are true, you've got about 10 million more illegal immigrants that came into this country, and they're all, mark my words, all going to be registered to vote in one way or another. And those mail-in ballots will be flooding in. And then you'll see another episode of, well, the election isn't over until every vote is counted. So we don't know if we're going to have the same day results in maybe a week, 2 weeks, 2 months even. It could take us out into January. And lo and behold, if Trump wins, then all of these fifth columnists and sleeper cells that have been around the country, probably armed. And by the way, if they're armed, what use are gun control laws? Then you're going to see that summer of love, that spring of love 2.0, and it will be worse than anything you saw with the Antifa riots back in 2020. That's it. I'm done. Like me, find me, share me. Chris Michaels, Last Call Podcast with the lovable fuzzball himself, me, Chris Michaels.